This week, the White House convened a three-day summit under the banner of countering violent extremism. Attended by community and faith leaders, as well as activists from the U.S. and abroad, with time devoted to model programs and American citizen discussions, it was a well-intentioned and ambitious effort to address a very real problem. At the same time, many voices were raised expressing concern at the inordinate focus on Islam during the run-up to the summit. At the White House for the event was Glenn Caton, legal director of the organization Muslim Advocates. And Glenn joins us now on State of Belief Radio to talk about what happened. Glenn, welcome back.
Thank you, Reverend Gaddy. It's always a pleasure.
You know, Glenn, there's no question that ongoing efforts to counter violent extremism are incredibly important. At the same time, many of us had concerns about framing this summit in terms of Islam. Did you see that as a problem ahead of the summit?
Yes. I think the administration went out of its way to not overtly frame this as about Islam. The title of it is Countering Violent Extremism, and there's no mention in that title or in any of the panels about Islam or violence committed by Muslims. But the fact is that the content of the program and the content of much of what President Obama spoke about was the threat of violence by Muslims. The reason that causes so much concern is that extremist violent acts by Muslims in this country is actually only somewhere around 6% of extremist violence in this country. So by having the discussion focus so much on acts of violence by Muslims, by having government interface with Muslim community members so much on this topic, it really tells a false story of what the nature of the problem is.
Glenn, tell us a little bit about the conference itself. Who was there? What ground actually got covered?
There was a whole bunch of different panels and breakout groups. They're having a three-city pilot program now for countering violent extremism, although the efforts have been going on for many years. So they had separate panels from each of those three cities, from Los Angeles, Minneapolis, and Boston. And then they had speakers who spoke of innovative ways to try and address the problem of violent extremism. They had, for example, a woman who is the head of the Boston Public Schools talking about how they deal with just disaffected youth and counseling youth who might be vulnerable to kind of getting in trouble. They had religious leaders, chiefs of police, talking about everything from ISIL recruitment to lone wolf type attacks, and academics talking about studies they've conducted. So it was pretty comprehensive.
I'm curious about your reaction to President Obama's words at the summit. What'd you think of what the president said?
It was pretty powerful, and it was pretty long. And as I heard a couple of people say, you know, there was something in there for everyone. And he did speak in very bold and encouraging terms about terrorism has no religion. The overwhelming majority of Muslims in this country and the world are peace-loving, just like the overwhelming majority of people of all faiths. Although he said a lot of those things, and he said a lot of great things about how anti-Muslim hate is un-American, the truth is that the content of his speech was very heavily about how do we deal with Muslims who commit violence, and very, very little reference to the roughly 95% of other forms of violent extremism that exist in this country.
Was there a strategy or a call to action that you think will actually be valuable in the weeks and months ahead in confronting this problem?
I guess I'm sorry to say the answer to that is no, but it's not for lack of effort or goodwill. I mean, the fact is the first thing that Obama said, or one of the first things he said, was there's no way to predict who will become radicalized. So putting aside for a moment the problem with the term radicalization and the fact that it sets up this false theory that there's a path that you get on to become someone who's going to commit a violent act, the truth is, as he said, and as professionals in this area will say, you don't know who is going to become someone who commits an act of violent extremism. So we don't know that. The main academic there said that, you know, there is no empirical evidence on what types of countering violent extremism activities are effective. So we really don't know, as a matter of science and effectiveness, how to properly address acts of violent extremism. So I'm not encouraged that we have a really effective way because addressing the problem is so elusive. I feel, unfortunately, like out of default, so much of the strategy is focused on American Muslims. And that's really a dangerous stigma that can lead to discrimination and hate crimes and lead to really just all forms of law enforcement surveillance and things that are just damaging to religious freedom and American Muslims generally.
Glenn, if you will, talk about the local level initiatives that were modeled. I think a lot of people have mixed feelings about the risk of ongoing police surveillance and profiling based on religion or ethnicity alone.
That is a very big problem among Muslim communities in the country and many religious minorities, frankly, who know the feeling of being singled out by law enforcement. So there's the subtext of we need to watch Muslims, and then there's the actual activity of surveillance of Muslims. The Intercept broke the story a couple of weeks ago about how some federal funding, I believe it was the Minneapolis Police Department, was intended to gather intelligence on the Muslim community there under the auspices of outreach. We've seen that in the past with the FBI doing outreach in Northern California, you know, saying, hey, we're your local FBI, and, you know, we just wanted to introduce ourselves, and then at the same time collecting intelligence that will then go into intelligence bases about innocent community members. So that is so dangerous because it just undermines the fundamental trust between law enforcement and the community. You know, how can people call law enforcement when they're worried that their name, their ethnicity, other members of their congregation might be recorded? I mean, it is really an insidious and dangerous problem.
As you look back on those very intense discussions, do you see areas of concern that you feel weren't addressed enough during those 3 days?
I guess I think the summit could have been more focused on the true breadth of the problem, which is to say that violent extremism takes many forms. And I'm not at all suggesting that law enforcement should treat environmentalists or animal rights activists or even white supremacists in the way they do American Muslims, which is to say either you're automatically suspect or, you know, you, Mr. Greenpeace activist, you know, we need to talk to you about other members of your environmental activism community about becoming radicalized. I absolutely don't want to see that. But at the same time, I feel like if the conversation is going to be honest and if it's going to be effective in terms of public policy, it really does need to address the full scope of the problem and not just focus almost exclusively on Muslims.
Glenn, what else did you take away from attending the summit this week?
You know, I took away that the administration, I really feel like they are appropriately being careful not to conflate overtly Islam with terrorism. And it's unfortunate that I take some degree of comfort in that because it should never happen. But the media and so many public figures do make that conflation, so that the fact that the administration is making a very strong effort to do that, I am encouraged. And then, you know, another thing, to be honest, is that even though myself and there were several other people there who really disagree with the way the administration is going about this. The fact that the administration invited us and wanted us to see what was going on, even though they knew that at the same time we would be criticizing them, again, is kind of encouraging in terms of the transparency and the sense of inclusion. I don't know if other administrations would have been that forthright.
Glenn Caton is legal director of Muslim Advocates, promoting freedom and justice for all. Glenn was at the White House this week, along with a diverse group of leaders and activists for the Summit on Countering Violent Extremism. Also present was Interfaith Alliance Executive Director Jack Moline. Glenn, as always, thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio, and keep up the good work at Muslim Advocates.
Thank you, Reverend. It's always a pleasure to be speaking with you.